This is the Thrive Content Clubcast, where we take a deep dive into the hot topics relevant to you and your work.
Hi, I'm Megan, a copywriter here at Thrive. Welcome to the Ethical Data episode of our Content Clubcast. Recently at Thrive, we've been exploring lots of topics surrounding data, but something which really stood out was the debate surrounding ethical data. So today I'm talking to Ian Blackburn, our resident data expert, on how your private data is being used, whether AI and self-driving cars can be trusted, and if using data unethically is necessarily a bad thing. So Ian, can you start by explaining to us, where does ethics fit into data?
Yeah, it's a great topic to be discussing right now, especially within our industry, and you know, we're really getting to the point where, you know, data is becoming the heart of what we do. So you know, we've just got to be mindful about you know, how we use data in a correct way. So you know, there's data collection going on everywhere, and I don't think, like I said, there's an industry that doesn't really benefit from data collection in some way. But when we're trying to, you know, collect and process the information to, you know, help inform the decisions that we make, we've just got to, you know, really be mindful of what we're collecting and why we need it. So it's a good definition I read by some Oxford professors and philosophers, so Luciano Floridi and, I'll get the name wrong here, Mario Saria Taddeo, that states really that studies the so it's a branch of data ethics that studies and evaluates moral problems related to data, the corresponding practices in order to promote, formulate and support morally good solutions. It's quite nice. And really what we're sort of saying there is that, you know, when the things that you're collecting, so the, you know, the generation of data, recording, curation, how you process it, you know, the corresponding practices, so you know, any of the innovation, any program you're using, or you know, sort of professional codes related to data. And of course, just really basic principles around, you know, how you would want your data to be processed, we've just got to be mindful of. There are some tools available to kind of help here. You know, things like GDPR is a good reference point for checking whether or not your practice is considered fair and lawful and transparent. And that's a really good place to start. And of course, there are certain types of data sort of referred to as sort of special categories of data, sort of more sensitive issues like things like gender identity or sexual orientation, for example, that have separate sort of stricter processes around how we handle that data as well.
Okay, so there's the basic sort of moral standing on ethics that we all know about. But in terms of data in today's society, why is it really important to use data ethically?
So there's the obvious risk to privacy, right, which I think that seems to come up. I mean, I struggle to find a week that goes by that we don't get some sort of you know, privacy questions being asked around where data has been collected, or, you know, people's accounts being hacked or something like that. And there's lots of data laws around that, you know, GDPR and DPA as well. We've just got to be aware that, you know, a lot of this information that we're using or collecting is quite personal to some people, and that it's not always obvious that some of this data is being collected, and people don't always necessarily know how it's being used. You know, data can be used in quite unsavory ways, you know, to, you know, maybe in bias in a job interview. That's why certain things, you know, aren't required. You know, people say, you know, you don't put those sorts of things on interviews, and you can't ask them because, again, you're trying to avoid any sort of bias towards, you know, particular ethnicity, for example, or age. And that was one thing that's kind of been removed out of job interviews. And it just helps make sure that everyone gets treated fairly. I think that's probably the key thing there. It could be other things where how companies use your data to try and market to you. You know, we have to be conscious that this data isn't used in a manipulative fashion, as opposed to simply just trying to provide you with advertisements. You know, the use of data to improve tools and the process we have and even cultures in businesses can be quite effective. But, you know, it's pretty easy to lose trust in the people that you want to collect this data about. You know, again, lots of rule changes happen all the time because people aren't happy with the way that data is being processed. And we could just get to a point where, you know, we can't actually do certain analysis or use data to try and actually do things in a positive way, purely on the basis that people have just lost so much trust in the way that companies handle data that, you know, we can no longer be trusted to take the correct moral standpoint on how we process it. And then there's potentially the opportunities that we have that, you know, we can use in it data about an individual in a really positive way is no longer possible simply because, you know, we sort of generally have a rule that says, no, that's it. You know, you don't get to use that data anymore because people can't be trusted.
Yeah, that's really interesting in terms of losing trust. I feel like that's really relevant to how data is used to market against people. So do you have any particular examples of how data is used in a marketing way that's infringes on privacy in a way that we might not realise?
Yeah, so obviously without trying to call out any sort of specific businesses or anything like that, because there's lots of things that happen sometimes, you know, not intentionally, but you know, there's a pretty good one that I can think of. So retail organizations that, you know, you have like these loyalty cards, right? So I think most people hopefully by now are sort of aware that, you know, a loyalty card, you know, you spend on certain things and you collect points, and then you might get vouchers related to products that are similar to the products that you've bought or in fact the same, and that you name encouraging you to buy more. So in most cases you think, well, that's probably okay, right? You know, if I get a voucher for, you know, a particular brand of orange juice, for example, like, that's great, I'll definitely use that voucher. However, there are some products that you might think, well, actually that's potentially a little bit sensitive, and perhaps, you know, that data shouldn't be collected and used to market it. So one example that maybe springs to mind there is, let's imagine that you and your partner perhaps trying for a baby, for example. So you might be starting to buy products related to that. And all of a sudden, if you're now getting targeted with what might be deemed quite invasive marketing around that subject, which can, of course, you know, we all know can be quite a difficult and challenging time for a lot of would-be parents, all of a sudden it's, you know, perhaps a little bit too personal, and certain information like that shouldn't be collected around certain types of products based on the sensitivity of the the thing that's related, the thing that's actually related to why you might buy those products in the first place.
Speaking of data that targets you in quite a private way, is there an example of data that is taking away our choices?
Yeah, so the one that I probably think about more than I would care to admit, because I struggle with it actually. In some cases, it sort of feels really obvious what the decision would be. In others, it's actually pretty difficult. So self-driving cars, I think about. And, there's, of course, the topic around, you know, in a scenario where a self-driving car would have to make a choice between, severely injuring or even killing the passengers or the person in the road, someone sort of steps out in the road, you know, what's the decision that you make? Now, morally, people are going to be in different places depending on the situation, right? You know, you might, if you see a small child and it's just you in the car, your instinct might just say, I'm going to swerve out the way and sacrifice myself. The moment you put your own kids in the car, the scenario changes. You know, what do you do there? And we're kind of leaving a lot of this in the hands of car manufacturers. Now, there will be people who know way more about this topic that I'm sure will be able to shed some light here. But, you know, it doesn't look like we've got kind of necessarily a consistent way of deciding what this would be, or, you know, whether that's the right or wrong scenario. There's actually an interesting website. It's got a Moral Machine you can go and it gives you some examples and you can make the choices, right, in these different scenarios. And again, some of them are really easy, but others you're sort of looking at thinking, well, actually that's pretty hard. Like in both scenarios, like the outcome, you know, sort of sucks, right? Like, but you know, what do you do in that situation? And we're going to leave it up to artificial intelligence to make these decisions with, you know, hundreds of different variable factors involved, right? You know, the speed you're traveling in, you know, again, does it know anything about the age of the person? Does that matter? It's a tricky one. And yeah, one I'd love to sort of know more about. And I'd love to know whether or not the car manufacturers are, are collectively making a common decision, or whether they're all individually making the choice there. And you know, you might drive one car brand with a self-driving car that makes a totally different decision based on the outcome compared to another one. Yeah. What do we do then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really shocking that actually it's really crazy to think about. And in terms of companies sort of taking on that decision for us, I'm sure there's loads of examples of something that people are probably more familiar with is sort of companies taking people's private data and using them in ways that we're not really aware of. Do you have an example of sort of a generic company that has something like this has happened with a data leak?
Yeah, I guess it's maybe not so much a data leak. I mean, there's lots of data leaks that I can think of, not one that I can reference off the top of my head, but there's definitely issues with data in the public domain. You know, is that question around, and that there's some organizations have used the fact that the data was already public, in inverted commas, to say, well, you know, that's okay, you know, it's already public, I can do whatever I want with it. But actually, like, you know, fundamentally, just again, ignoring totally basic moral principles. So I'm aware of some researchers who used data that they kind of scraped from a popular dating website and made that public without obfuscating any of the identifiers of the user profiles, you know, doing no cleaning of the data at all. And their argument was that, you know, the data is public. Now, of course, it's been taken down since, but it was the fact that, you know, that was argument was just used. It's like, hey, data is in the public domain, I can do what I want with it. And people sort of ignoring those sort of really basic moral principles is quite disappointing. And especially with, you know, data like on a dating profile, you know, again, can be quite personal. And potentially quite upsetting if that was found in the public domain somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious from a moral standpoint that it, like you say, it's a personal information comes from a dating profile. You expect people to sort of, I mean, they're on there to find someone to connect with, so it's going to be sort of personal information. But is it necessarily such a bad thing to dive into this data? Like, can't profiling people in data sort of help discover minorities and identify where change is needed and things like that? Is it necessarily a bad thing to use sensitive data?
So I love this question because I guess the answer is it depends. So for example, you know, a company might want to find out whether the business itself is appealing to a more diverse audience and might want to get an understanding of, you know, people from whether people from different ethnic backgrounds or different gender identities feel fairly treated, and ensure that the company promotes equality. So yeah, it's obviously some sensitive data involved there. But if there's a clear goal that benefits the individual, then it's definitely something that should be considered, of course, while being mindful of privacy when you're going about collecting that data, and also transparency of obviously why you're doing it.
So in order to be mindful of privacy, how can we collect sensitive data ethically?
So this particular example, you might be trying to get a snapshot of the entire business at that point. And some of the information that you might collect actually might not be relevant. So if you were surveying the entire business, there's probably no reason that you need to collect the name or, you know, an email address or even date of birth of an individual. You know, you're simply getting give me some information about you, what department you work in. Maybe even that is too much, but only collecting the data that you actually need in order to answer that question. So all the surveys could be anonymous. You know, you don't need to identify the individual. You're simply trying to get a count essentially of, you know, do we actually appeal, and on a scaling score to people from these particular ethnic backgrounds or to different gender identities feel fairly treated. You know, you could have a rating scale, that kind of thing. You know, it pretty easy there to kind of obfuscate a lot of the information that about that individual, but while still collecting information you need in order to answer that initial question.
Yeah.
However, on the other side, you might say you have an issue specifically regarding, you know, gender pay. That's been something that I think everyone's familiar with. Now, here you've got multiple pieces of information you actually need in order to be able to make that assessment, right? You know, you need to know kind of who the individual is, you know, what their gender is and their pay packet, in order to say, okay, well, look, people in this department, are they fairly, remunerated or not? But it's the thing you have to be mindful of there is how you store the data. You know, who should have access to it? You know, these sorts of things should be stored against a really confidential HR record where, you know, a very, very limited subset of organizational users have access to it. And actually, when the data is published, you know, again, a lot of that can be aggregated so that you can get a more general picture rather than, you know, calling out the individuals involved in the analysis. So, yeah, I think we should be able to collect data and use data in this way, but it's just about making sure you know what those boundaries are and trying to work within them.
So that's great on how we can collect the data ethically. Is there any particular sort of tools or sort of guidelines to follow on literally how to use that data?
There's quite a lot of good stuff kicking around generally. I know there's one quite nice clear example. That's the Data Ethics Canvas from the Open Data Institute. So a kind of a nice set of questions to ask yourself when you're going about the start of this kind of process and sort of checking off those things. So I'd encourage people to look at things like that. So there's quite a lot of resources around there. You know, go and look at the Information Commissioner's Office as well around the laws around processing of data. They often really good at providing kind of some key bullet points. So I would recommend having a look at those sorts of things before you start collecting data that may be considered sensitive and make sure you're kind of clear there. In terms of a few sort of rules, we sort of touched on a little bit, you know, firstly, you know, make clear what you're trying to achieve by collecting and processing this data. You know, make sure you kind of have a real clear set of guidelines about what you're doing and why you're doing it at the very beginning. You know, be transparent. So if you're doing something within the organization, make sure everyone within the organization is clear. And of course, where possible, give people the opportunity to opt out. And these things, you know, none of this sort of stuff should be forced. You know, hopefully, as people, like we talked about trust earlier, have enough trust in the way that you're handling the data, people want to get involved if there's a clear reason to provide this information for the better of the individuals within the organization who this affects. Only collect what you need for your analysis. You know, don't just add new pieces of data to your long list of fields that you want to collect because you might need to use it later. Be very specific about what you actually need and only collect that information. And said, so you at the beginning, you say, look, this is what we're going to collect. This is how we're going to use it. So there's nice sort of transparency there. We talked about anonymizing. I think, you know, where possible, try to use anonymous data when you're doing this kind of analysis. You know, there's very few scenarios where you actually need to know who the individual is and anything specific about that person. So do try to avoid collecting that data where possible. Store the data securely, you know, make sure that, you know, wherever the data lives, you know, people can't get to it. And I said there's kind of a least privilege set of rules within your organization that means that, again, only some users have access to the data. And even those users maybe only have access to it for a specific period of time. You know, if they only need it for during the analysis, then you have kind of a time boxed, hey, you have it for access for 7 days or whatever to do the analysis, and then that's it, the access is removed. And then any data that you actually don't need anymore for any auditing purposes, if you've done some collection analysis of data, if you don't actually need it, then you can delete that stuff. You know, don't just have files kicking around or, you know, databases full of work or, you know, dashboards that you've got that have got data that you're no longer using. Get rid of it, delete that stuff, and only keep the records that you need for the auditing purposes. You need to make sure that the business or the organization, whatever, runs correctly and is able to have enough information to for everyone to do their jobs.
It's a really important advice there. Thank you so much for joining me, Ian.
I appreciate you having me on.
You've been listening to the Thrive Content Podcast. Visit www.thrivelearning.com for more information. Be bold. Be brave. Thrive.